We started this session, I think it was like 3 years ago, and it's been a blessing because you get to meet so many of the missionaries or pastors that are in other countries and what the Lord is doing, and they get a time to share in a few minutes. And then you can pray for them, support them, or visit them. But anyway, the first ministry is from a person from this church, Julianne Heilman, Asafiwe. So we have a short video we're going to see, and then she's going to come up and share about the ministry.
Good morning. It's great to see so many people here today. My name is Julianne Heilman. I'm originally from Northeast Philadelphia, but I live in Entebbe, Uganda. I have been living there since 2013. I'm blessed to be able to be a part of Asafiwe Child Care Ministries, which is a ministry to give home care to orphaned, abandoned, and abused children. We started in 2015 and cared for 8 children in one home, and now we, 11 years later, we are caring for 186 children in 12 homes. And we praise the Lord. Thank you. God is so good. He's so amazing. Asafiwe means praise. It's a Swahili word that means praise, and we just want everything we do to bring glory to God. We want the children to know God. We want the people who hear about the ministry to praise God, and it's so good to be here with you today, and I hope you enjoy the rest of the conference. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Julianne. That's one of the things on my bucket list, is to get to know the ministry there in Uganda. Love to do that, if the Lord allows. But it's amazing what the Lord is doing there. The next person up is Bob from Finland. That's how I call him because I struggle saying his last name. I just met him a few days ago, but it's heard him in chapel at the school, and we talked for a few hours, and it's just he's a blessing, so I wanted him to share.
It's great to be here with all of you, and just super blessed. First two teachings were so enriching, and I really appreciate this time with all of you and the fellowship that we share in ministry together in various parts of the world. Though we minister to various kinds and different people and different places, our hearts are united because we want to glorify our Lord, get the gospel out, and really get the word of God into the hearts of the people that we're ministering to. And I can kind of just summing up our ministry in Finland. Mari and I, my wife, we moved to Finland 21 years ago, and we came to a country that is, I would say, pervasively steeped in liberalism when it comes to church. So it's got a state church, Lutheranism. Love Lutherans. Nothing wrong with that. But unfortunately, in Finland, the Lutheran church is very wayward. And then there's the other side of things, which is if you're not part of the Lutheran church, you're in some kind of ultra-charismatic church. So there's a lot of imbalance when it comes to spirituality. When I had first visited Finland, I shared at my wife's home church. And there, the Lord really put it on my heart for the first time that these people love Jesus, but they're not being fed the word. And so our ministry began in New York, upstate New York, where I'm from. But we really felt the Lord calling us to go to Finland and plant a Calvary Chapel, which, as you know, is steeped not in liberalism, but the Word of God. And so we want to get the Word of God out to Finland. And we've been trying to do that for 21 years. And by God's grace, there's not just one church established in Turku, where we have been serving 21 years now, but also the Lord had just completely on his own had idea that I could have never dreamt up, that we would also be used by him to plant a church in Helsinki as well. And so for 10 years or a little bit more than that, we were going back and forth doing both church plants. And then the Lord raised up a wonderful man named Jaakko Haapanen, who is a Finnish national, who I handed the church over to about 7 or 8 years ago. And he's just doing such a great job with that church. And we praise God for what he's doing in Finland. through Calvary Chapel Ministries that have been established, but we would like to establish more. So keep it in prayer. And I ask that you would please pray for my wife and I, because we're always open to the Lord. When is it our time to kind of hand things over where we are and go on to the next place, either in Finland or then maybe somewhere else? But we just want to remain open to the Lord. So please keep us in prayer that we would do the Lord's work, the Lord's way going forward. And a real practical prayer request you could kind of pray for is that the Lord would raise up translators, because when you go anywhere else in Finland, we're way down south. But if you go up north, the more north you go, you really need translation, and you really need the Finnish language. It might sound weird, but Finland is actually very proficient in English, so our church functions in English. So, but when you go up north, you need Finnish, and so we would love translation for our current teachings, but also to be able to go and actually teach with translation simultaneously being done. But those are our prayer requests at the moment, and that's what we've been doing. Please keep us in prayer. Wife's name is Mari. My name is Bob. My children's names, Russell and Grace. And thank you so much for this opportunity. And God bless you, and have a wonderful time at the conference.
Thank you, Bob. He was sharing that Finnish is one of the hardest languages in the world to learn. So it's very convenient that English is widely spoken there. But anyway, if you want to know more about the ministry, you can talk to them after, or how you can be part of it or support it. Now I'll ask Chris Arista, right here, from Costa Rica. Well, he's a missionary working in Costa Rica.
Good morning to all of you. It's such a pleasure to be here, and for my brothers from Costa Rica, Pura Vida, buenos dias. My name is Chris, and my family and I, we serve the Lord in Costa Rica. My wife Rachel and I, we moved there in 2015 after growing up on the mission field in northern Mexico for 10 years. We went to go direct the Bible College, and then later on, the Lord transitioned us to Pastor Calvary Chapel Palabra Viva. And the Lord has been doing an amazing work in Costa Rica for decades. Pastor Jose Carrasco and Eric are here from Calvary Chapel Cela. And Pastor Jose, he oversees Costa Rica and has been there faithfully since 2001. And when the Lord called us to Costa Rica, he called us to the southern part of Costa Rica called Pérez Celedón. And our vision is simple. Our vision is to plant healthy churches throughout Costa Rica by training and discipling men to become pastors and church planters. And to accomplish this, we've developed a school, a ministry training program called 412 School, Escuela 412. And this is based on Ephesians 4:12, which is equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. And so on this program, we focus on four different modules. We focus on the essential doctrines, how to teach the Bible, the philosophy of ministry, and also biblical leadership. And beyond just the classroom training, we also focus heavily on personal discipleship. We walk closely with these men and their families, the ones who sense God's calling on their life to pastor or church plant. And we believe, like you know, that ministry is not only taught, but it's also caught through relationship, through example, through faithful service. And so at Palabra Viva, our mission is to equip people for whatever God's calling he's placed on their life. So the way that we think of it is kind of like a funnel, if you will. As people come to our Sunday services, they're grounded in the Word of God, and they grow in their maturity, they grow in their faith. The next step that they do is discipleship through our life groups that we have throughout the city, our home fellowships. They're discipled more in smaller communities, and they're always encouraged, and they're faithful in reaching out to their communities and to the people that live around there in their neighborhoods. Then through the 412 school, they receive very practical tools for ministry and whatever God is calling them to do. And then through intentional ministry discipleship, that's where we prepare men to shepherd churches and to plant new works. And you know, everything that we do flows from the Great Commission. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples, and that remains our focus in everything that we do. Our end goal is not just to simply plant churches, but to plant communities, to reach the lost, to disciple believers, and to eventually reproduce themselves. And what excites me so much is that this didn't happen overnight. And God has been strategically positioning leaders in churches for decades to work and prepare the tough ground and accomplish His purpose in this generation. Like I mentioned, Pastor Jose Carrasco, he arrived from Chile to Costa Rica in 2001 and planted Calvary Cela in Heredia in 2003. And from there, they've already sent out two different men to start new fellowships. Pastor Gerson, he pastors Calvary Liberia, which is near the northern border. There is also Pastor Francisco, who pastors Calvary Villarreal in Tamarindo. That was planted before by Phil McKay. And Pastor Don Brown also has planted a church in Calvary, Las Montañas, and Acerrienden. As you can see, we're in Palabra Viva in the southern zone. And if you've been to Costa Rica, or you know a little bit about Costa Rica, you know that it's a small country. But even though it's small, it's very difficult to get around because of all the mountains, because of the terrain. And because of that, I think that every one of these healthy churches becomes vital, becomes very important in reaching those different regions effectively. Every one of these churches will become and can become a training center and senders for those areas. And I believe as we remain faithful to the Great Commission, as we continue training believers and raising up pastors and church planters, God can use us to see churches multiplied throughout all of Costa Rica. And as healthy churches reproduce healthy disciples, we can see the gospel spread to every corner of the country. That's our heart, is to see Costa Rica won by Christ. And that's one for Christ. And that's really what our prayer is, that Costa Rica will be won for Christ, one disciple at a time, one church plant at a time. So please take time, if you can, to visit the table in the back. Again, that does not represent all of Costa Rica, but only what we are currently doing in the southern part. Also, please connect with Pastor Jose and Eric, and above all, please keep us all in your prayers. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. And yeah, go visit the table there and learn more about the ministry. Now we have Ivan from Austria. Where is he at? I don't see him. On that side. Okay. He threw me off there. please welcome Ivan.
Well, it's a joy and a privilege for me also to be with you guys here for this day. I just wanted to start by reading from Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, where it says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and steadfast love to those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." And God's faithfulness, that's just something that's just really stuck with me. I was born in Germany to missionary parents who primarily travel into Eastern Europe. Then over the years when communism fell, my parents lived in Austria, still doing ministry. And so I grew up in Austria speaking the language. 17 years old, I wanted to get out of Austria and I wanted to get away from anything ministry-wise. Didn't want to be a pastor, didn't want to be a missionary. Ended up in Seattle. And I was sharing this morning with the editor of the Calvary Chapel magazine. We were attending church at Calvary Chapel, and I saw in there a prayer request that God would start a work in Salzburg, Austria. And that was about 19 years ago. I thought, Lord, not me, but the Lord had other plans. Moved over there with my wife, Michelle, and two children at the time. Now I have four daughters. Really, it just started off as a little Bible study, and now we're a healthy church, people coming to Christ, and it's exciting because I saw the mission field as a child, and now were reaping the harvest of the missionaries that had gone before, what was known for many years as the missionaries' graveyard. And so God is doing a mighty work there. We're excited to be a part of it. I think a prayer request and just talking to other pastors in mainland Europe is just a Bible school, like a CBI or something, where young people can go and learn more in depth from the Word of God. We're seeing a lot of young people come to Christ because Austria is predominantly Catholic. They're sick of the Catholic Church. Austria is a fairly wealthy nation, and so everything is handed to them, and so we see a lot of depression. There's a lot of depression and hopelessness, and obviously we have the Word of God. We have truth in a world that has become so fake, and so it's an exciting time to be there, exciting time to be ministering there, and so you can keep us in prayer there, and if anyone ever says, hey, we want to stop by there, serve there, talk to us. All right? Thank you.
Thank you so much, Ivan. It's encouraging to hear what the Lord is doing in so many countries, and in the privilege of having so many people from different countries coming share. So thank you. Now, Jeff and Jen Wood, if you could come up, with Refuge to the Poor in Cambodia. We've known Jeff and Jen for years, close friends and family, and they are serving now in Cambodia.
Good morning. My name is Jeff, and this is my wife, Jennifer. And we are privileged to serve on the leadership team of a ministry called Refuge for the Poor. And Refuge's ministry is to identify and rescue kids in Cambodia who are at risk from trafficking, and then provide them sanctuary, education, and above all, discipleship in Jesus, with the goal of changing Cambodia for Christ. If you can go to the next picture there. So Cambodia, Southeast Asia. The ministry started back in 2006 when a couple named Greg and Jane Drevis headed off to Cambodia as church planters. And God really put on their heart a desire to love the poor. They saw all the needs around them in the city, and they were just moved. And so they started this ministry. And over the last almost 20 years, Refuge has served over 200 kids. And in its current form, we run a ministry center called the Refuge Center that houses about 35 kids in Phnom Penh whose home lives were too dangerous for them to stay there. And so they live at our center full time and are cared for by 8 full time Cambodian believing staff. Lots has happened in Cambodia in the last 20 years, but as you can see, it is still a needy place for the gospel. The Joshua Project statistics say that there are still 17 million unreached people there who are part of a number of unreached people groups in Cambodia. And so, like I said, our goal is to raise up these kids, introduce them to Christ, provide them training and discipleship, and then we partner with the local churches to, with the goal of changing Cambodia for Christ. I think the next slide is just a picture of our center, and then Jen has a couple of stories.
So could you go to the next slide, please? This is the fullness of those who are at our center right now. You can see Greg and Jane are in black and gray pants, and then there I am randomly in orange, and Jeff's next to me. But those are all the kids that are at the center. You can go to the next slide. So these are the three girls who have most recently come to join the Refuge family. The taller one is Yuna, and her parents are factory workers working very, very long hours. Both have HIV and have asked us to take care of their daughter because they're no longer able to. Rachana in the middle, she is actually about the same age as the one to the right, which is just shows you the malnutrition that she experienced as a little child. her mom abandoned the family. Dad is an alcoholic, and he would tie her to a table as he would leave to go to work all day. So she was just, as a little baby, tied to a table all day. Then the aunt realized what was going on. She said, I'll take her. I want her. Can I have her? And he said, yeah, you can take her. And then the aunt had developed cancer, and her whole life changed in treatments, and she was no longer able to take care of her. But she, by miraculous provision by the Lord, met one of our refuge staff. She said, can you take Rachna? And so we brought in Rachna, and she's now having all the opportunities of the rest of the students. Jiva on the right, her family, they're all construction workers. And in Cambodia, it's very common for construction workers to move their entire families and live in makeshift housing to whatever they're constructing. And so her family was part of building a building for refuge for the poor, so we could start housing some young adult men who will be going to college. So that's an awesome development that the Lord has provided this building. Her family was helping to build that. Her brothers and her parents are illiterate, and she was on that same trajectory. But our staff welcomed them for some events that were going on at the refuge center, and her parents were like, wow, this place is awesome. Do you think Jiva could live here and be educated? And so Jiva moved in. She's being educated at a Christian school. She receives nourishment every day, medical care, and most of all, as Jeff said, discipleship in Christ. So not only does she go to Christian school, but at home there's Bible study, there are worship nights, the older kids and our staff are discipling the kids. And so it's just this miracle of God that he is bringing about in the lives of these kids. And they learn as they come in that this experience, what God is providing for you, is in fact for you, but it's not only for you. It's so that you may disciple others and give back to your family and lead others to Christ. So the goal is discipleship, and it's really exciting. I have one more really, really challenging story to just tell you, that we have two little boys at the center, and we found out after the fact that their mom sold their baby sister, who was 2 months old, for $200. And so no one knows where she is, and so we pray that God is going to do a mighty work somehow in her life. But I share that story with you to try to bring the reality to you that Refuge for the Poor is truly working to rescue kids from trafficking and abuse and discipling them to raise up the next generation.
Three prayer requests, one for all our students, the ones that we have right now, that they would know and love Jesus and that they would be trained up in him. Two for our staff, eight staff who are basically working 24/7, caring for 35 kids at the center and another 40 out in the community. And then the third prayer request is just for our leadership team, which is Jen and I and Greg and Jane. We live here in the States, but we travel back and forth, just that we would be able to provide guidance and vision to the staff, and that God would continue to provide financially as well. So thank you.
And they have a table up back there so you can stop by and learn more about the ministry too and the needs that they have and how you can be a part of it. Is Taylor Johnson around? There we go. Okay. I forgot if I told him that he was next, but he is next. So I'm sure. He's from Montebelluma, Italy, or he's working in Montebelluma, Italy. So welcome, Taylor.
All right. Hello, everybody. My name is Tyler. My wife is Alyssa. We have two kids, Eloise and Ezra. And we live and serve the Lord in Montebelluna, Italy. So I've been there for about 14 years ago. I first went for some Bible college. I've been there full time for over 12 years now, serving in the church. 3 years ago, the founding pastor, his name was Craig Quam, he passed away from almost 10-year battle with cancer. He passed away, and at that point, I stepped in as the senior pastor. So that's what I dedicate my time to, is just taking care of the church, the people there. The church has been there for about 30 years, so it's a great work that the Lord has been doing for three decades now. We are in Montebelluna, which is the region of Veneto, so Venice, northeastern Italy. And statistically, it's about 0.1% evangelical. So I know a lot of times we think of Europe, we think it's Christianized, everything, but it's really a very big mission field. There's a lot of people that have never heard the actual gospel of grace, obviously. They know Jesus, they know Father, Son, Holy Spirit. There's churches everywhere. But many people don't really know the reality of the gospel. And so that's one thing. If you guys could just pray for us. It's a culture that is steeped in Catholic religion, idolatry. There's a church close by on the Montello. That's kind of the hill right behind our town. And there's a statue of Mary, and right below that it says, Venite a me, which are the first words from Matthew 11:28, come to me. And so there's really kind of a replacement of who Jesus is with that. And so pray. It's a huge need. There's our church. There's about 10 Calvary chapels in Italy, scattered throughout the country. So our heart is really to just obviously take care of the people we have in our church, to reach more people, reach locally, but ultimately to see more churches planted, churches that preach the Bible, preach the gospel, take care of people. So that's a big prayer request as well. Otherwise, if you could just pray for us this summer, we do different VBS, youth camps, outreaches. We send a missions trip to Ukraine, several different things. So if you guys could keep us in prayer, our church, as we run all these different things. Otherwise, if any of you are interested in Italy, knowing more about Italy, what the Lord's doing there, what more needs are, I would love to talk to you guys later, connect and everything. But otherwise, that's about it. Thank you, guys. It's a blessing to be here. And that's all I have to say. Thank you, guys. So Ray mentioned to tell them, tell you guys about my kids. My daughter Eloise is 2.5, and my son Ezra is 1 month old. I have to make a disclaimer. My sister-in-law did fly out from the States to stay with my wife and kids so that I could come here. I did not leave my wife at home with a 2.5-year-old and a 1 month old. I'm having to, make that clear. But if you guys could pray. Pray for us. One prayer request, another prayer request would be is my daughter has to have surgery next month. It's not anything major. It's on her thumb, actually. But still, a surgery is a surgery. She has to be in the hospital for a day, overnight. So you guys could pray for Eloise and her surgery next month. So anyways, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ray.
And I wanted to share that because it's about the similar age of our grandkids. We have grandkids with my wife, so and our granddaughter is going to be 2 months. So when he talked about his kid, I was like, wow, very similar. We have a grandson that's a little bit under 2 years old. But anyway, that's like a side note. Next, James Bond is here. No, I'm just kidding. Bond got Ona, who works in Nepal and India. I've heard a lot about him for years, so I finally meet him today. So that's I'm so glad that he's here and that he can share about the ministry that he's doing. Thank you.
Thanks, really appreciate it.
Well, what an honor it is to be here. You know, last year I was at the conference in California, and I met Joe Foch for the very first time, and I told him that he was one of my heroes in the faith, and he laughed at me. And I was like, why are you laughing at me? You know, I've followed your life ever since I was a youngster, and then now to be here, oh my goodness, I'm so overwhelmed, and such a blessing to be here. My name is Bond. It's pronounced like James Bond, so that's why he said James Bond. And I do work in Nepal and India. We are work in the mission field for many, many years. My wife is here today as well. Her name is Heather. My little girl, Brianna, made in India, but born in California. we You know, they said give you guys a little short story about us. And Heather and I, we were in California, in San Diego, and I, fresh from the Bible college there in Calvary Chapel, we started a home fellowship in San Diego, and it grew to a church plant. So I was a senior pastor for 10 years. In those 10 years, we were doing short-term mission trips all over the world, you know, the continent of Africa, Tanzania, Uganda, all over the place, and into Canada. And, of course, Mexico was our backyard, so we were always in Mexico. And then we started going to the South Asia, China and Nepal and India. And this is the 1040 window where the gospel is preached very little. And almost everybody we shared with, we would ask, have you heard about Jesus? They would say, no, never heard of that name. And man, that became a burden in our hearts. And so my wife and I, you know, these short-term mission trips that we would take as a senior pastor for those 10 years, we begin to ask that question, what would it look like if we went full-time in the mission field and we would leave beautiful California or amazing jobs, you know? And finally it hit hard. It was just so burdensome in our hearts for these people who had never heard the gospel. And so we sold all our possessions. We went to our first place, was Nepal. I have a picture up there. Nepal is, they serve over 300 million or 30 million gods. Everything's a god, a flea, everything that you can imagine. They live under their minds are, they're grappling with which god to appease for their disease or an accident or whatever it may be. They have to find the god to appease. And that's just a prison in their mind. And we bring Jesus Christ and Him crucified and set them free. And it's beautiful. It's amazing. And so we began there. We began doing a work there. And then we had such a successful time that we thought, let's try India, which is south. And so if you go to the next picture, India there, it's 1.4 billion people. And not million. It says billion. Yeah, that's good there. Estimated 3% are Christian. And so 88% of the people have never heard the name of Jesus. Now, I wondered if that was true. But everywhere I went, And I would always share on the highways and the byways, they never heard the name of Jesus. And we just gave Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know, the gospel is the power of God to salvation. I would just give the gospel and people would get saved. And it was amazing to watch what the Holy Spirit was doing in and through our lives. And so there were so many people getting saved, and we thought, what do we do now? I told my wife, you know, I'm an evangelist. I love preaching the gospel, you know, but now we have to disciple them. Go therefore make disciples, you know. And so now we had to set up these Bible colleges we first, here's the gospel, preaching the gospel everywhere I could. We would set up conferences. We would do that through many ways, many forms, whether it was having doctors come out from the U.S. or nurses or, you know, eyeglasses, whatever it was, we would use platforms to preach the gospel. And this is one of those platforms. We would bring out concerts and all these kids would come and we'd give the gospel and many would get saved. That was my priority in my life. But then after them getting saved, if you go to the next slide, discipleship. Oh my, I wanted to disciple people, and that took over my life. Because God gave me a word. He said, if you will disciple these men and women and train them up in my way, they will go further than you could ever go and reach more people than you can ever reach. And I said, done deal, Lord. Let's disciple them. And so we started out with the, you know, School of Ministry, you know, the Pastor Training Center. But then I got hooked up with CBI. If you go to the next slide there, there's CBI in Nepal, Kathmandu of all places. We have if you go to the next slide, there's a building there. We have a 5-story building there right in the middle of Kathmandu. It's CBI. And we are training all these students. By the way, it's like the early days of Chuck Smith. All these young people are coming to the Lord by the thousands. They're just coming, and we're training them and sending them back out. And there's a work of God going on that's powerful. And by the way, those two yellow signs, those two yellow dots, one is in Nepal, one is in Hyderabad. Those are the training centers I oversee personally. We have many more that are all throughout the world, but these are the two that I get to be a partaker of. And so that's what we do. We train them up in the Word of God for 2 years, and then we tell them, go home and start a Bible study and see what God will do. And if you go to the next picture, this is after the training. I train them up. I go, now it's your turn. Go out and see what God will do. Well, look what God did. Let's go to that next slide there. Look at all these church plants. We have like 60 church plants all over. Yeah, praise the Lord, right? God is so faithful. He's so merciful and gracious. We didn't know what we were doing. Still don't. We got churches in China, Pakistan, all over India and Nepal. We got all the way to Dehradun in India, in the middle of Delhi, all the way down to Kerala, you know, in Hyderabad. They're just everywhere. And these are bona fide Calvary Chapel church plants, not mixture of, you know, teaching verse by verse and hyper-Pentecostalism. It's not like that. The centrality is Jesus. And they're bringing the Word of God to all this world. And it's amazing to see what God is doing throughout the world. And so I want to invite you guys, if you go to the next slide, there's things that you can pray for us. If you're a pastor, come out and teach block classes with us. You can bring your church. And we have all kinds of things you can do from someone was talking about BBS and the slum ministry and medical. And we have a team out of Oregon, Calvary Chapel, that hikes the Himalayas. They train all year long and go for 3 weeks into the Himalayas, preaching the gospel to the villages that never heard Jesus. It is wild. I used to do that when I was in shape, but forget it now, you know, like. Is there a landing strip or something I can take a helicopter to? You know. Anyways, listen, if you want to join us, you can go on the back table there and get our update, sign up. And we tell you when we're going to different places. We still travel around the world. Calvary Chapel, Argentina, CBI Argentina is starting up. We want to go. And you can join us on short-term mission trips. Short-term mission trips change the world. It really does, because it puts such a burden in your heart, then you become a world changer. It's pretty amazing. And so anyways, and the next one is pray for the CBI campuses, you know, in these areas that are unreached, under tremendous persecution. India right now is off the charts of our guys. And so if you wouldn't mind praying for them, lifting them up, and then, of course, supporting the students that go to these colleges and the pastors that start these works. And so, you know, we have that table in the back. Pick up a card and you can pray for us. And together we can impact the world for Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
Oh, that was great. Amazing. Andrew from Moyobamba, Peru. There you go. And I was excited to hear about Argentina. CBI Argentina, yes. I guess they know each other. So I met Andrew at the Calvary Bible Institute in Trujillo, Peru. He was a student there. Then he graduated. Then he was serving there. And they sent him out to start a church in Moyobamba, which is at the edge of the jungle in Peru. And he can share the rest about it.
Good afternoon, everyone. Yeah, my name's Andrew. I'm from Colorado, and I've always had this desire to leave the country, you know, leave the comfortable life that I had. I didn't know when or where or what that would look like, and what helps is just going on different short-term mission trips. And sometimes when we're out of the zone, out of the changing the routine, the scene, sometimes God can reveal the next step or he'll give us something more that we need to see. And so that's what helped me. We did a short-term trip to Trujillo, Peru, where my pastor, Pastor Corey, is, and we ended up going to the CBI there and graduated, and from there we did some short-term trips around Peru to native people and, you know, riverboat rides and all of that. But my heart was really to go to the Middle East, to the 1040 window, and that's what my plans were. But I was told to pray anyways for Moyobamba, where I'm a pastor now. And I was like, all right, I'll pray. But my mind's already set, you know, I'd like to minister to Muslims. But then God really opened up my eyes. I was in the main square. I was praying, and then just certain verses started to minister to me. And I realized walking by faith, not by sight. In spite of it being a 50,000 person city and 60, 70 churches or so that were there, I realized that the doctrine was really bad. People didn't know simple truths that like God could forgive them for a sin that they've done in the past. Lots of heaviness on giving, knocking on people's doors, you know, why don't you give 20%? Why'd you only give 10%? And just so many other things like that, just putting burdens upon burdens. But yet people didn't give up. They still wanted God. They just needed the healthy Bible teaching church. So God confirmed. We went to Moyobamba. Something that really helped for the fruit that there is today is lots of prayer. Lots of prayer, asking from people, praying before you go to the city themselves. And we saw God respond to a lot of prayers. There's this lady, she's awesome. She's in charge of a lot of ministries at the church. But before she was about ready to commit suicide, she's about ready to kill someone in her family as well because she was so depressed and she didn't want to keep going on in life. But all of a sudden, a heavy sleep fell on her. She woke up and she's like, had a knife in her hand. She's like, oh my gosh, I gotta go to work. And there we met her. We met her at work. We shared the gospel with her. She came to church 2 weeks after, and now she's one of the most joyful people that we know. And I really believe that was for lots of the prayers that we did so that God could prepare her heart and put that heavy sleep on her. And another person that helps with our social media, this person was a queen of social media, you know, 50,000 followers and so forth, and restaurants would pay her to eat their products and all that, but yet she was so empty, so depressed. And now, like we saw in one of the messages, you know, He is to increase in us and we are to decrease. And now she shares a lot about Jesus and the church and the updates and invites people to church. And now she's all about that instead of herself. And so lots of lives that are changed in Moyobamba. And when we got the church planted, there was about 70% women. The people that served is like 80% women. A lot of times you are a lot more spiritual than us guys. Sometimes we're a little slower, stubborn and all that. But we've been praying for more men to come. And just a couple weeks through those prayers, God started to send the guys. And now we're like 50-50. And it's like, well, we got to do discipleship, right? So we're studying through 1 Samuel on Saturdays in my apartment. You know, what does God want in a man? That's the main focus. And that my plan was to have it from 8 o'clock to like maybe 9:30 in the morning because, you know, I'm sure they had work and studies to do, but they stayed till like 12:30. And then I have to say, all right, guys, like, cool, you know, but, you know, I got stuff to you guys got stuff. But they just loved hanging out, fellowshipping, talking about the Word, asking Bible questions, you know, thinking through it. And they want to do sleepovers now, and so we've got 6 mattresses, 8 of us. You know, it's going to work somehow, right? But they just love being there. They love. There's been so much repentance in their lives, and I guess the last thing that I'll share, I didn't even share much about Moyobamba. So Moyobamba, we're 20 hours from the coast. We're really far out in the Amazon jungle. There's lots of coffee and lots of cacao and rice and bananas as the main fruits. And we have the Moyo River, which connects to the Amazon River. And all around us are different indigenous groups, different native languages and so forth. And so we've done mission trips to them as well. And my hope and how you guys could be praying for us is that we bought some property and we really want to start a Bible center to train up specifically men, but also women as well. Leaders, like Mon was sharing, you know, equip them up and then send them out. And then they start those Bible studies, those groups and sharing Jesus in other parts. And so that's where we're at. We have the land. Slowly but surely we want to have an auditorium, a classroom. And little by little, I've been connecting with people in different parts of Peru and want to eventually invite them over and have Bible classes and get them equipped for that. So yeah, if you could just be praying for the men, that they are constant and firm in the church, they're awesome, and that they don't sway away. And then also just for the church property and the construction and eventually starting a training center or possibly a school. So thanks.
Yeah, we're very encouraged with what the Lord is doing. And in South America and different countries in Peru and Argentina and the works in Chile as well. Last year, Julian and Hope were here, and they started a work in Concepción, Chile. Daniel Flores, are you around? Yes, there we go. Daniel Flores, no. he works in Lyon, France. So welcome, Daniel.
People sometimes call me Danielucho, and God, he has a sense of humor, because Brother Andrew, he had a heart for Muslim people, and God took him to South America. I had a heart for South America, and God took me to Muslim people. I was 24 years old, and I was using the church van to take a group of kids down to Ensenada. We were working at a site where a new church was being built. And on the way down, 3 o'clock in the morning-ish, I don't remember, I probably fell asleep at the wheel. I hit a zone of construction, and when you brake on gravel, it doesn't stop. So I rolled the church van 5 times with 15 missionaries in it. I thought that was disqualification for missions work, indefinitely. But God has a sense of humor. So he didn't send me to the Middle East. He sent me to France. And where I have been serving with my wife, Jennifer, our 4 boys, we have been there now 21 years. And the members of the church that we serve, they're 100% Iranian former Muslims who love Jesus. Yes, to God be the glory. And they sent me on a mission. They said, Daniel, if you're ever given a chance, please tell them our stories. I wasn't expecting a mic. You only gave me 5 minutes. That's Ramadan, 2 years ago. Sahar was sitting at the table. We had just started our study of the Gospel of John. We didn't get very far. It was through the prologue, and she stopped me in the mid study and said, read it again. And I thought, okay, maybe she didn't understand. We read it again. She said, read it again. And over the request came back. I'm like, am I not reading this right? 8 times she asked me to read this, and then she just broke down in tears and said this was the most beautiful thing she had ever heard. Now, I've heard a lot of beautiful things, and I praise God for the gospel that changed my life, but I wasn't understanding that the gospel was changing her life in that moment through the prologue of the Gospel of John. Because it was Ramadan, she doesn't eat. And her husband next to her made sure of that. But it was somebody's birthday that day, and my wife set out some birthday cake, and she set out little containers for them to take cake home for those who were fasting during Ramadan. And she's looking around for something. I'm like, can I help you? She's like, I'm looking for a fork. I'm like, oh, but my wife put your little container next to you. It's like, no, I'm looking for a fork. And she reached across and used somebody's dirty used fork and just dug into her cake. The first time she ever broke fast in her life during Ramadan. The impact of the gospel, freeing souls under bondage. The stories they tell me, the hurt, the pain, it is far more than you could ever, ever imagine. God is using this small community because the door is not currently open to the gospel in Iran. He is using different ministries in the diaspora of Persian people throughout the world. And we are privileged to serve these humble people who love Jesus more than anything. who didn't come knowing the Jesus that we know. The Jesus that gives omid, hope. The Jesus who wants to see faith in action in our lives. And these folks are doing it. They have a love for their country. And God has allowed us to live stream our teachings directly into Tehran. And we're seeing lives being transformed from within Iran. In the context of the current war, that communication has stopped. But God is still faithful. He's still acting. And He's building His church, one of the fastest growing in the world, amongst the people who actually love you all. They love America and they love learning about our Jesus. They have lived under oppression. They have lived under persecution. And many of their stories I can share with you for days. I bet such a short time to do that. But these people are so worth your prayers. God is doing something amongst Iranian people. And they hold on to this prophecy, the word of the Lord that came to the prophet Jeremiah in chapter 49, where it speaks of God setting His throne again in Elam. Now, if you've never heard of the country or the area known as Elam, it is currently Iran. And in order for God to have sovereignty, to place His throne in this country, there must be a people who are willing to worship their king. Our ministry is all about preparing those hearts, whether it's at this time, if prophecy is going to be revealed before our eyes, I pray so. But if it's not, we want to be ready that when the doors open in Iran, that there is a people wanting to go back and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ in Iran. We saw so many war-torn countries that had wonderful opportunities at the end of the wars, the end of the crises, the end of the conflicts. The doors were open and very few missionaries were sent. We pray that that doesn't happen in Iran. We pray that when God says, go, that there are people who are wanting to respond to that call. So that work is the one that we are privileged to work in now. If we have prayer requests, it is obviously for the nation, for the faith, especially for those who are being persecuted, who are in jails, for those who have given their lives, their families. A couple of weeks ago, we were having a Bible study, and a phone went off. And when that happens in a church like this, everybody looks to the person who has a phone, but we allow that to happen because we never know when the communication is going to come through. And it only lasts for like 10 seconds, 20 seconds. And Mehdi's mother was on the phone and she couldn't speak, so she gave the phone to her Mehdi's sister, who just explained that while we were having our study, their house was bombed. They no longer have a home. And so we started praying for his family. And he was thanking Jesus for the bomb that destroyed his mother's home. She had just received a phone call 2 minutes prior to the bomb arriving from the IDF, telling her, you have very little time. Please leave. I spoke to her in her language, and she understood. She left. And the reason why Mehdi was crying wasn't so much because of the loss of his mother's home. She's now homeless in a country where there's no help for those who are homeless. He was grateful that his mother's life was spared because she is not yet a believer. And he was thanking God for the precious days that are left that he has to get this message to his loved ones. And he's not alone. In our community, there are many. And in France, where I serve with some very dear brothers in Calvary, you know, the national language in France is complaining. We do it very well. But when we look to Italy and we see the numerous churches that God has started, the wonderful works that he's doing in Spain, in Germany, and we are about 5 Calvaries in France. And it's an area where we have over 80,000 communities without any evangelical church, any evangelical witness. And Europe is hurting. And sometimes our eyes are focused on what's happening elsewhere. But the wonderful privilege that we have in Europe is that there are so many people who are escaping countries like Iran who are coming to Europe. And what a blessing it is to be able to sit at their table or our table and show them who this Jesus is that can transform their lives, their countries, who can bring hope, who can restore from the ashes. Many are looking for a new monarchy to be reestablished in Iran, but these folks want Jesus. Give us Jesus and Jesus alone. Thank you.
I know we have a lot to pray for. Thank you very much for sharing, Daniel. We have one more before we break for lunch. Chris Brown with WEC. He's going to come up and share. And then I'll come up and give instructions for lunchtime. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel. Can we just pray? Father God, we thank you for the beautiful people of Iran. Lord, we thank you for the Farsi. We thank you for the Azerbaijani, for the Luri, for the Kurd, for the Baluchi, the Galaki. Lord, the people from throughout that nation who have not yet had a chance to know who you are, we thank you that your church is growing there in the midst of oppression and war. Lord, we just pray that you would do more. Lord, that you would continue to reach into this nation of Iran. Lord, that you would allow your church to grow in that place. And that, Lord, you would bring peace. Lord, not peace so that people can have a home. But, Lord, peace so that, like it says in your word, the peace that allows people to hear that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Lord, would you reveal more of yourself in that land? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. My name's Chris Brown. I grew up about 20 minutes north from here in Washington's Crossing. I now live about 20 minutes east of here in Fort Washington. And in between that time, I spent 20 years in Central Asia. And the people that I worked with live in the country where I live, but they're also the largest minority in Iran. And so hearing about Iran has really touched my heart. The country I went to, you could not go to as a Christian worker. If I went there and said, I'd like to be a missionary, I'd like to be a pastor, they'd say, thank you very much, you can leave. And so I worked in an English school, and I've been involved in business. And so what I do is business as mission. And over the last 12 years, I've been supporting other people who do business as mission throughout the world. One story I'd like to share with you real quickly. We had a young man in the country where I worked, and he came to us and he said, I really want to know about Jesus. And so we started talking to him about Jesus, and he said, but actually, do you have space in your English class? And at that time, we had a list of about 200 people waiting to get into our English school. And we said, yeah, you can get on the waiting list. And the reason he had come and talked to us is because he thought if he showed interest in Jesus, then we might get him up the list to get into the English class. We're like, no, it doesn't work that way. And so a couple months later, he came again and he said, hey, I want to hear about Jesus. And all he did was ask us about the English school. A couple months later, he called again. And my friend said to me, he said, Chris, this guy is coming to talk to me again. Will you just come with me? Because I know he's going to say he wants to hear about Jesus, but he's just going to ask about the English school. Will you help me? I said, okay, I'll come along. You know, we're both going to be sad. It's going to be a hard day. So let's do it together rather than by ourselves. Before that, we had given him a book, and he had read that book, and he came that day, and he wanted to know about Jesus, and he became a Christian. And the great thing about it is for about the next 3 years, he had no interest in learning English. Eventually, he has learned English. He's become a leader in the house churches. He is involved in doing mission work now, and God has really worked in him. And we've seen within a country where there was very, very few local believers, we now think there's more than 10,000, and God has done a great work over the last 30 years, not through us, but through many different people. I work with an organization called WEC International, and our mission is to see Christ known, loved, and worshiped by the unreached peoples of the world. That's our heart. That Christ would be known, loved, and worshiped throughout the world. Business as mission is one way we do that. We do that through many different means. We're involved in sharing the gospel, planting churches, discipleship, and then seeing people from those nations go themselves. And so in the country that I worked in, I have friends who speak the local language, who go into Iran. Because I can't go there as an American, but they can. If I have any prayer request, it would just be Luke 10:2, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. That is our prayer request, that these places that have not yet heard the gospel would have people who say, yes, I will go. Amen.
Thank you very much, Chris. Amazing the amount of ministries and works across the world and what the Lord is doing through these people. So visit the booth, get to know them, and continue to pray for those works.